musiikkia korvillesi. 98,4.
Hyvät Radio Morenin kuuntelijat, äsken kuulimme Riddim Radion ja sen toimitti meille Jere Dangerous. Radio Morenin illassa on luvassa vielä yksi ohjelma ennen tauottoman klassisen alkamista. Kello 22 siihen asti 2 tunnin verran kuulemme Totuusradiota. Ja Totuusradiossa tänään otsikkona Migration Politics in Finland, How Asylum Seekers Are Turned into Illegal People. Toimittajana Veera Kaleva. Ja lähetyksen jälkeen tosiaan klassiset tunnit ja toimitetun ohjelman kanssa Radio Morenilla jatkamme huomenna tiistaina kello 7.03 alkaen. Silloin David Moby ja Ramones to Rachmaninov. Mutta nyt siis vuorossa Totuusradio, Migration Politics in Finland. And most of the following program will be in English. So the next program in Radio Moreni is Totuusradio, and the topic in Totuusradio tonight is Migration Politics in Finland, How Asylum Seekers Are Turned into Illegal People.
And that was an Iraqi song telling about from a comedy show, from political bashing of the government, and telling about the political situation at the moment. This is Totuus Radio, and today we're talking about Finnish migration politics today in Finland, and how are people being made illegal? How are asylum seekers being made illegal? There's going to be live discussion here in studio. We have 7 people here, but then we're also going to have some clips from Helsinki seminar that was discussing about more fair or better asylum politics in Finland. So we're first going to listen one clip from the Helsinki seminar that was organized by Law School of University of Helsinki and Vapaa Yliopisto. This is a clip that is talking about 3 different aspects that we can think that are concerned at our asylum politics at the moment. Those 3 different aspects are politics, legal issues, and ethical problems. And they're all visible today in the Finnish asylum discussions. So let's listen to the first clip.
Jos me ajatellaan turvapaikkapolitiikkaa ja tuomioistuimen ja muiden viranomaisten toimintaa, eduskunnan toimintaa, hallituksen toimintaa, maahanmuuttoviraston toimintaa, niin voidaan ehkä ajatella pohtia näitä kysymyksiä ainakin 3 näkökulmasta. Varmasti on lukemattomia muitakin. Ja nämä 3 näkökulmaa osittain menee päällekkäin. Ensinnäkin voidaan ajatella tätä oikeudellisena kysymyksenä. Kuinka oikeusvaltio ja perus- ja ihmisoikeudet, oikeusvaltion arvot toteutuvat yhtäältä tässä turvapaikkahakuprosessista ja toisaalta sitten myös lainsäädännössä. Toisena tämmöisenä näkökulmalla voi olla poliittinen näkemys siitä, minkälaisille arvoille turvapaikkapolitiikka rakennetaan Suomessa. Myös laajemmin, minkälaisessa yhteiskunnassa me haluamme elää. Ja tämä on siinä mielessä myös laaja kysymys siitä poliittisista päätöksenteosta, erimielisyydestä ehkä tämän nykyisen turvapaikkapolitiikan kannalta. Ja sitten 3. meillä voi olla eettinen näkökulma, mikä on meidän vastuu toisista, mikä on meidän globaali vastuu tässä maailmassa. Miten kannamme tätä vastuuta, mikä meillä ehkä sitten on eettisestä näkökulmasta käsitellen.
Okay, that was from Helsinki, and they were discussing the issue of asylum politics or migration politics on 3 levels. We're gonna discuss the same issues, well, at least on 3 levels. I think I counted like billion levels, but I hope we're gonna pull this discussion together anyway. I'm Veera Kaleva, and leading the discussion today. We're discussing with you. I am, well, I've been doing some programs in Radio Moreeni, in Totuus Radio before, but I have also been active in Free Movement Network Tampere for some years now, and trying to affect the migration politics in Finland in general. And that's why I thought, because this spring there's been lots of things going on. There has been a huge demonstration in Helsinki that has been there more than 100 days now. There's been a lot of public debate, and of course there has been terrible things happening, like deportation flights to Afghanistan and Iraq. So it's a very good moment to speak about this. And here I have in studio with me some people to talk about it, some experts. So would you like to introduce yourself? Who are you and why are you here?
I'm Jonna Heikkinen, and I'm from Free Movement Network Tampere. And I'm here today and I'm a part of Free Movement Network because human rights are basically my passion. And I'm very interested in these cases and I'm very happy to be here today with you guys.
I am Ali Sabur. I am an asylum seeker from Iraq. I'm here that because I'm interested about our situation here and what's the future like hiding for us.
This is Ramin Mehrzai, one of the asylum seekers and also a part of social networks like Free Movement and other networks, and really want to know about the situation, what is going on in politics of Finland and Europe about the asylum seekers, and want to help in any way I can do for them.
I am Anna-Reetta and I'm also part of Free Movement Network, and I have been part of that since the very beginning, or since we started in Tampere. That was 2015, 2016, and I've been mainly concentrating on this kind of sort of legal issues, but of course the whole situation is just crazily unbelievable, so I think that's the reason why I'm here.
I'm Ahmed Zgeir, I'm asylum seeker from Iraq, also I am part from Free Movement Network and Kofu Without Border.
Hi, I'm Imran Aden and I'm part of Free Movement Network and I'm here today to discuss about what's happening in Finland. And also, this is one of my passionates to also to work as a human rights activist.
All right, so that was a bunch of us in the discussion today here. Next, we're also going to hear a clip from Helsinki. The seminar was held at the Helsinki University and organized, like I already told you, by the Law School of Helsinki, together with Free University, and they were having lots of researchers talking about the current situation based on their research and based on what they have done as activists too. So next we're going to hear Jukka Könönen, who is a researcher from Turku University, and he's going to tell about the current situation in asylum politics and what have been the changes in Finland in recent years.
Niin, eli ennen näitä maahanmuuttovirastoja ja ylipäätään turvatilastoja voi vähän lukea ja laskea eri tavoin, mutta olennaista näissä mielestäni on kiinnittää huomioon siihen niin tosiasiallisiin ratkaisuihin. Ja sitten vähän puhut käytännössä termiä kuin recognition rate, joka tarkoittaa yksinkertaisesti tavallaan myönteisten päätösten osuutta näistä tosiasiallisesti ratkaisusta hakemuksista, eli pois lukemiakin dappinia käsittelemättä ja näitä hakemuksia. Mutta tässä kuviossa on sitten vähän sekä nämä niin hakemukset, että sitten noin päätökset ja keltaisella on nyt tämä recognition rate. Eli tästä mun mielestä näkee silleen selkeästi kaksi asiaa. Ensinnäkin kuinka ehkä dramaattinen tämä niin turvapaikanhakijoiden määrän nousu oli silloin syksyllä 2015. Eli vuonna 2015 Suomeen tuli yli 32 000 turvapaikanhakijaa edellisenä vuonna niitä oli vajaa 4 000. Mutta ehkä olennaisempaa niin kuin tämänkin keskustelun kannalta on tuo keltainen käyrä, joka nyt kuvaa tätä recognition ratea, ja siinä näkee aika selkeän tiputuksen tuossa vuoden 2016 puolella. Ja itse asiassa myös tuossa niin kuin EU-kontekstissa Suomen tämä niin kuin recognition rate on siellä niin kuin alhaisimpien maiden joukossa. Yes. Ja tavallaan näissä, kun lukee näitä tilastoja, niin tietenkin on hyvä katsoa niitä kansalaisuuksittain, koska eri maissa on vähän erilaisia ryhmiä, esimerkiksi Suomeen nyt ei tule niin paljon syyrialaisia. Mutta kun näitä katsoo tälle kansalaisuuksittain, niin näissä näkee niin kuin aika selkeästi sen pudotuksen niin kuin, ja aika hyvinkin dramaattisen pudotuksen niin kuin Suomessa. Etenkin ehkä irakilaisten turvapaikanhakijoiden osalta, jolloin niin kuin, muistaakseni nyt 2015 tämä recognition rate oli yli 80% ja 2016 enää vähän yli 20%. Ja täytyy muistaa, että tässä maahanmuuttoviraston tilastoissa näihin sisältyy myös se muutoshaut jälkeiset ratkaisut. Eli että jos nyt katsoisi niitä ensimmäisiä päätöksiä, niin sitten ne olisi vieläkin niin kuin ehkä murheellisempia mennä lukemaan. Mistä tässä ehkä on kysymys tai miten tämä muutos voi selittää, että okei, totta kai me nyt voidaan sanoa, että Suomeen on tullut hyvin erilaisia turvapaikanhakijoita kuin muualle Eurooppaan, tai että niin turvallisuustilanne on merkittävästi parantunut Afganistanissa ja Irakissa esimerkiksi, mutta mun mielestä tämä nyt on hieman kaukaa haettua, ja esimerkiksi niin kuin YK on näiden raporttien mukaan Afganistanissa turvallisuustilanne on jatkuvasti heikentynyt. Et tavallaan tietenkin tämä turvapaikkapolitiikka nyt on, tai turvapaikkapolitiikan tiukentaminen varmaan liittyy tähän meidän poliittiseen tilanteen Suomessa. Sinänsä niin kuin kuitenkin tuo hallitus teki näitä sen maahanmuuttopoliittisen ja turvapaikkapoliittisen ohjelman silloin syksyllä 2015. Niin sen tein sinänsä suoraan, mun mielestä nyt ainakaan, mikä nyt oikein muistan, että suoraan tästä turvapaikkapolitiikasta puhuttiin. Lähinnä siinä estettiin näitä päätöksenteon tehostamista ja tätä vetotekijöiden poistamista. Toki muita tiukennuksia esimerkiksi perheenyhdistämiseen ja humanitaarisen luvan, humanitaarisen suojelun kategorian puolestumista. Sitten itse asiassa niinku varsinaisia niinku lakimuutoksia, mikä niinku selittäisi tilannetta ei oikeastaan ole. Et tosiaan kuten sanoin, mun mielestä humanitaarinen lupa nyt ei ole ainakaan tässä nyt keskeinen tekijä. Ehkä itse asiassa olennaisempaa on sen turvapaikanhakijoiden oikeusavun heikentäminen, mikä sitten tarkoittaa sitä, että turvapaikanhakijat eivät välttämättä saa sitä, tai eivät saa niin kuin lakimieheltä tukea sen turvapaikkapuhutteluun, joka on sitten taas se keskeinen asiakirja, jonka perusteella tehdään näitä päätöksiä. Mutta on tietysti selvää, että varsinainen muutos on tapahtunut näissä maahanmuuttoviraston päätöksentekokäytännöissä, ennen kaikkea näissä turvallisuusarvioissa Afganistanista, Irakista ja Somaliasta, sekä osittain tähän liittyen, mutta myös yleisemmin aika lailla laajamittaisessa sisäisen paon soveltamisessa jäteisten päätösten perusteena. Et mä oon tässä useampien lakimiesten kanssa puhunut ja sitten useita myös turvapaikkapäätöksiä nähnyt, jossa mun mielestä tätä myös käytetään aika paljon myös muiden kansalaisten kohdalla nykyään, että tavallaan maahanmuuttovirasto hyväksyy, että henkilö on vainen kohteena jopa, mutta että voisi kuitenkin paeta maan sisällä. Ja toki nyt tietenkin näissä maahanmuuttoviraston on ollut vielä ongelmallisia käytäntöjä, mistä myös oikeuskansleri selvityksessä on huomautettu, ja myös jos tänään luitte sen Long Playn jutun, joka tuolla sosiaalisessa mediassa kertoneet. Sanotaan niin, että tässä nyt ehkä ihan voida puhua tämmöistä hyvän hallinnon periaatteiden toteutumisesta.
So that was Jukka Könönen telling it about the changes happened in recent years in Finland. They have happened both in the legislation and also in the Migri guidelines. So I was thinking that maybe we could talk. He was talking about the way Migri has started using differently, like their internal guidelines have changed. Even though the law hasn't changed, they have started to think that, for example, countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, that they're safe and people can be returned there. And also that even though you would be in danger in one place, they think that you're not in danger when you're returning to some other place. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could talk about this, and maybe you could tell something about the situation, for example, in Iraq or in Afghanistan, and what is really going on, and why is the migration office doing really weird like interpretation of the situation in those countries.
Yeah, until now we didn't know how they decide that Iraq, Somalia and Afghanistan is safe. Like, I have been asking many times that about what they depend. It appears that they depend on the like political level, that the politicians of Iraq, they said, or of other countries, they said that we don't have any problem, we are running the country well, and then they decide that, okay, this country is safe. It's, of course, it's safe for them because they are the politician who run the country and who is the person who are, like, living in the safe and, like, secured area, and leave the people live outside this secured area suffering from, like, different kind of conflict there. So this is things, I think it's like only on the like politician level, so they don't really know the situation in Iraq. And if we compare it to Syria, it's like maybe worse in some places, but no one like decide to compare Iraq and Syria and other countries there. So from my perspective, it's like Iraq and Syria in the same situation now, but in a political level, it's not. For example, Syria saying that we are in disaster, but Iraq government say like we are safe and we are running the country well, and that's a big lie.
Yes, about the Afghanistan issue, like I told you before, that Afghanistan, Iraq, and Somalia, they have the same issues. But in different ways, the migrant is looking in different way according to their politics and the other issues that they have some agreements and non-agreements that they don't care now, because there is a lot of asylum seekers in all countries, European countries, and it's too difficult for them also to hang out with this process, because there are thousands of refugees in every country. So this is quite difficult for them, and they are not noticing the problem of the people, but just the official things that the the politician says that our country is safe. Because we are mostly people, according to the what we say for we have the economical issue, and everybody knows that Finland and Afghanistan, why they have this agreement to deport the people, because this is about a big amount of money. So that's why the politician says that Afghanistan is safe to not just to lose the money. So they are accepting people, and they don't care about the people. And because they have Land Cruisers, Zray, and they have hundreds of the safety is. For their safety, they have hundreds of soldiers in back of their doors, so they don't care about the people who are hanging around. What is happening to the people? We have everyday bombing, and we have Taliban inside the government, and nowadays we have the oldest enemy of Afghanistan, that his name is Hikmatyar, and he also came back to Afghanistan, and we have more issues in Afghanistan now. Even though the politician of Europe and Finland, they know about these things, the issues, but they close their eyes and they don't care about the situation, but according to the situation that they have the agreement, so they are doing the policy that they have choose for taking this issue like sight what is happening to people, but because this is also affects an economy of other countries, they are just going on to their policies. And I don't know why they are doing this decisions, but I really tried during 1.5 year, I really tried to know about this, the base of this Migre decisions, that to what base and what base they are giving the decisions, like negative decisions for the people of Afghanistan and Iraq, even though they have a lot of problems. And people also don't react about it, because what they see about Iraq and Afghanistan, they just show that Afghanistan and Iraq is normal and people are doing well. So according to that, I don't know really. Really, I want to know what based these decisions.
Yeah, it's actually quite interesting to see how this is really a political decision more than a human rights question. That a good example of that is actually that civilian casualties have increased since 2009, since the UN Refugee Agency started to collect the data in Afghanistan. And, well, it has been increasing since, so it's kind of surprising that suddenly all Afghans have been getting just negative decisions after this 2015, when people started to come here.
Yeah, and of course, it's quite obvious that the situation has gone worse. If you consider, for example, the United Nations reports on the issue, but at the same time, the Finnish reports on the situation for both countries, like Afghanistan and Iraq, are saying that, well, the reports are actually saying that it's not going so well, but the Migri decisions are based on the idea that it's going well at some parts of those countries, so you can anyway send people back there. So it's about the idea of internal flight, that if you, even though you have no ties or no relations to some place, you can return there safely if you don't go back to your home region. And of course, it results in also in situation where people might not have lived in that country for years, or maybe never after they were children, or that they have no relatives or friends in those places, but still the migration office is considering that it's okay or it's safe for them to go back. And maybe this is also a cultural question, I think, because I think in Finland people don't understand the cultural difference, that in different countries it's very, I mean, the family ties or the relationships you have is more important. When you have someone to guarantee that you're a good person or you are from a good family, it has more meaning than, for example, here in Finland, where you can, well, go anywhere or move to places even though you don't know anyone there.
Yeah, of course, that's true. And not only that, because there, if you want to move from like neighborhood to another neighborhood, like, you have to make a lot of agreement. And to do that, you have to go to many offices in Iraq, and maybe they agree or not to move. So if you are living in this area, you can't move actually that easy. Just move to that place. You have to make like a lot of, go first to police station of that, the new area. I told them that I want to come here, and then you inform that to your police station, I have to move from here. And then you have to still like stay 1 month or more just to get that paper. You can move your stuff, for example, or you can you get a home and you can move. So it's too complicated to move. And if you move there, you don't know anyone there. It's kind of you are moving to another country, even if it's inside Baghdad. So it's too complicated. It's not like you can't just move.
The main problem that they think that it's so easy to move from this city to another city, because in our countries this is not social supporting. So if you don't have social support, then how you can arrange somewhere else? Here in Finland you have social support. So every politician think that the same situation like there is also the social supports and these things. But they don't know that we don't have the social supports and these things. If we want to move to another places, we have to begin a new life. And like here, we have social support. And we don't have to think about this, how we survive here. But in our countries, we don't have the social support. If you want to survive, you have to work. If you go from your home out, and you don't know if you are coming or not coming. Like a lot of people have been reported from Germany. Like more than 17% is died still. Many of, like more than 10 people, they were going to the Mazar-e Sharif, and during the way they have been killed by the Taliban. Like there is a lot of news in Google, you can search. If you are interested to know about Afghanistan, just take a bit time and go to the, sit on computer and just take the social media. They will tell you, don't just accept what the government, Finnish government and European Union government says. Just think like a human. As a human, search for yourself. If you are in that case, so what you will do? That's all I want to say.
And of course, the situation at the moment concerning Afghanistan is a bit different than other countries, because Finnish government has made the deal, like you said before, that Afghan people can be returned forcefully to Afghanistan, and they're accepting it, and they're getting money from Finnish government and from EU for taking people there back, even though those people feel that they cannot go safely back. But the situation is different than, for example, in Iraq, because the Iraqi government has said that they're not accepting people back, and they have not yet made this deal to deport people forcefully. But of course, they're negotiating about it all the time.
Yeah, and even though there was flight to Iraq forcibly deportation, even there is no any agreement. So they are doing it, and Iraq's government saying nothing about it. So I don't believe there is a government there, actually.
Yeah, and also, of course, even though they don't have the actual deal with the Iraqi government, they're sending back, like, individuals, like certain people. They're just picking up on people and sending them back. But in the Afghanistan situation, at the moment, they can have, like, reserved flights due deport like bunch of people, like tens of people at the same time.
So if you think that Kabul is safe, that last week we heard a news that one journalist from Germany killed, and one person from Finland, he has been kidnapped. Still we don't know about their situations and how it can be safe for other people. If you are not safe, then how you can be safe?
Uh, And also we're talking now about Iraq and Baghdad, and everyone say like Baghdad peace and you can live there. But for example, before 2 days, there is 2 bomb in Baghdad. And also in camp, I have one friend living with me in camp, and he lost his brother there in this bomb. And I won't ask the migrate all the time. I won't ask that. If I am Finnish guy, can I go to live in Iraq? Can I go to live in Baghdad? So I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah, and then of course there's even more. It's not only about the internal flight or the migris guidelines. There's been like serious problems with the guidelines. They have decided that some countries are safe, even though like many other resources say that they're not safe. But there has also been serious problems with different with the migri procedures and with the process of asylum seekers. There's been a lot of public debate lately that the fact that asylum seekers are no more paid for legal help in their process had made people not to know what are their rights, and also that there has been lots of mistakes, like legal mistakes made in Migre concerning asylum seekers process. And next we're going to listen a short clip from the seminar in Helsinki where Jussi Förbom is talking about the problems in the migration office.
Tässä mun mielestä kun tulee viitatuksi useasti tähän Björkvistin tänään julki tulleeseen artikkeliin, mutta siinä niin hyvin konkretisoitu se, että tota, niin kuin Jukkakin sanoi aikaisemmin, niin toisin kuin mielellään usein nyt väitetään viimeaikaisessa keskustelussa, kun sanotaan, että perussuomalaiset ovat ohjanneet ja pakottaneet hallituksen turvapaikkapoliittista linjaa niin kuin huomattavasti tiukemmaksi, ja on jopa sanottu, että tästä vastineena perussuomalaiset ovat suostuneet äärimmäisen oikeistolaisen talouspolitiikkaan, niin tämä on musta ehkä hieman yksinkertainen väite, koska just niin kuin on todettu tässä nyt tänäkin päivänä, niin se valtavan merkittäviä niin lainmuutoksia ei itse asiassa hallituksen aikana ole tehty, jos ei ehkä nyt oteta huomioon tätä oikeudellisen avun heikentämistä, että toki on hyvin merkittävä asia niin kuin yksittäisen hakijan tilanteen kohdalla. Niin tässä niin kuin pikemminkin kyse on niin kuin siitä pitkästä linjasta niin kuin viranomaisten ja poliittisten toimijoiden niin kuin vastavuoroisessa niin kuin hieman ehkä jännitteisessä niin kuin vuorovaikutuksessa siinä, miten niin kuin lain ja käytännön niin kuin suhde niin kuin menee hieman niin kuin tällaisena edestakaisena liikkeellä. Mä kirjoitin jo 3 vuotta sitten julkaisun kirjan maahanmuuttoviraston toiminnasta ja sen poliittisesta tai sen mahdollisuuksista ja halusta poliittiseen vaikuttamiseen, ja siinä nimenomaan niin kuin tuli sellaiseen tulokseen, että koska maahanmuuttovirasto on yksinäinen keskusvirasto, pystyy niin kuin tulkitsemaan lakia käytännössä niin kuin hyvin voimakkaasti itselleen määrittelemään niin kuin käytännön ja ajattelutavan mukaisesti, niin se taas pystyy sitten, tai sillä voidaan sitten pidemmässä linjassa taas niin kuin vaikuttaa siihen, millaiseksi niin kuin laki muotoutuu. Ja sitten taas, kun laki on tiukempi, niin sitten taas käytäntö voi olla ehkä sitäkin tiukempi, ja tälleen tämä niin kuin jännite menee ehkä tällaisessa niin kuin vastavuoroisessa liikkeessä. Niin mun mielestä niin kuin aivan niin kuin liian vähän puhutaan siitä mun mielestä, että mikä on niin kuin maahanmuuttoviraston omaksuma näkemys siitä, että millaista niin kuin ikään kuin poliittista linjaa sen käytännön, jota se toteuttaa, niin pitäisi noudattaa. Ja tämä on niin vaikeaa. Tämä tekee tämän julkisen keskustelun hirveän vaikeaksi, koska tässä mennään niin helposti sellaiselle tasolle, että tavallisen ihmisen on niin kuin varsinkin ehkä niin kuin köyhässä media-ilmapiirissä niin kuin hirveän vaikea seurata ja pysyä niin kuin perässä, mistä oikeasti puhutaan ja minkälaiset asiat on, niitä olennaisia asioita ei tarttu. Eli ehkä tässä niin kuin, en haluaisi olla pessimisti, mutta niin kuin ehkä hieman niin kuin, haluaisin, että se mistä puhutaan ja se mihin tartuttaisiin julkisessa keskustelussa olisi enemmänkin se, että mikä on niin kuin viranomaisten omaksuman käytännön linjan merkitys sen kokonaisuuden kannalta, mutta samalla tiedostaa sen, että niin kuin juuri se on se asia, johon on hirveän vaikea niin kuin yleisessä keskustelussa puuttua, koska siinä mennään niin kuin vaikeisiin niin kuin byrokraattisiin kokeiluihin, ja siinä mennään niin kuin on vaikea nähdä tavallisen ihmisen ilman suurta niin kuin vaivannäkyä ja jo paneutumista sitä, että mikä on niin kuin tehtyjen lainmuutosten tai poliittisten linjausten suhde siihen, mitä käytännössä tapahtuu niiden konkreettisten hakemusten ja niiden todellisten ihmisten elämässä.
Ja miten tuohon päädyt? In English, sorry, change of language. Because next we're going to have a statement, a decision made to an asylum seeker and her family here in Finland, and is a good continuum from the last replique here, that this is really about people's life and really about their situation. And here's a good example what kind of realities the migration offices guidelines and what and the legislation changes has made for people in Finland. So we have Jonna reading one of the decisions given for one asylum seeker.
Yeah, I will read this in Finnish, and this case is about one single Iraqi single mother with four small daughters. Olette hakeneet Suomesta kansainvälistä suojelua. Kerrot, että haette Suomesta turvapaikkaa, koska perhettänne on uhattu useita kertoja. Kerrot, että uhkaukset johtuvat siitä, että miehesi on työskennellyt Saddam Husseinin hallinnon aikana tiedustelupalvelussa. Kerrot pelkääväsi perheesi turvallisuuden puolesta. Olet kertonut miehesi olevan korkeasti koulutettu sunnimuslimi. Kerrot hänen olleen Saddam Husseinin hallinnon aikana töissä armeijan tiedustelupalvelussa 1996-1998. Kertomuksesi mukaan miestäsi ja perhettäsi alettiin vainoamaan Saddam Husseinin hallinnon kaaduttua. Kerrot miehesi saaneen useita uhkauskirjeitä. Uhkausten suhteen pahimmat vuodet ovat kertomuksesi mukaan olleet 2004-2008. Kerrot, ettet muista, milloin viimeisimmät uhkaukset ovat tulleet. UNHCRn vuoden 2012 ohjeistuksen mukaan Saddam Husseinin aikaiset upseerit eivät ole enää systemaattisen vainon kohteena, joskin yksittäistapauksissa upseereihin kohdistuneet oikeudenloukkaukset ovat mahdollisia. ISIS-konfliktin kärjistymisen voidaan kuitenkin katsoa vaikuttaneen myös Saddamin aikaisten upseerien asemaan. Human Rights Watchin syyskuussa 2015 julkaiseman raportin mukaan ISIS-konfliktin kärjestämä Irakin shiojen poliittinen retoriikka on rinnastanut toisiinsa ISISin kannattajat, lakkautetulle Baath-puolueelle uskolliset joukot ja Saddamin armeijassa palvelleet vanhemmat upseerit. Ottaen huomioon miehesi lyhyen palvelusajan, palveluksesta kuluneen pitkän ajan, kertomuksen siitä, että uhkaukseen suhteen pahimmat vuodet ovat olleet vuosina 2004-2008, etkä muista, milloin viimeisin uhkaus olisi tullut, sekä edellä esitetyn maantiedon, ei Maahanmuuttovirasto hyväksy tosiseikkana sitä, että perheenne olisi tulevaisuudessa vaarassa joutua vakavien oikeudenloukkausten kohteeksi miehesi taustan vuoksi. Olet kertonut, että perheellänne on Basrassa vaikeaa myös sen vuoksi, että olette sunnimuslimeja. Kerrot, että shia-muslimit ovat eristäneet teidät. Kerrot, että shiat eivät esimerkiksi halua olla kanssanne tekemisissä ja myös naapurit ovat jättäneet käymättä teille. Basran tilanne oli erityisen levoton syyskuussa 2013, jolloin sunneja joutui uhkailujen ja iskujen kohteeksi ja sunnimoskeijoita jouduttiin sulkemaan niihin kohdistettujen uhkausten vuoksi. Taustalla on ollut shiojen ja sunnien kamppailu Keski-Irakissa sekä Syyrian sisällissodan aiheuttamat jännitteet. Yksittäisiä lahkojen väliseen konfliktiin liittyviä surmia saattaa edelleen tapahtua. Muuten yksityishenkilön turvallisuus voi Basrassa joutua lähinnä uhatuksi sellaisessa tilanteessa, että hän toimii vastoin shia-muslimien arvoja ja normeja. Tavanomainen rikollisuus ja sieppaukset ovat lisääntyneet Basrassa ja muilla alueilla, joissa turvallisuusjoukot ovat siirtyneet muualle taistelemaan ISISiä vastaan. Taustalla on myös paikallisten militioiden ja poliittisten ryhmien valtakamppailu. Pääministeri Adapi lähetti Basraan tammikuussa 2016 turvallisuusjoukkoja selvittämään rikollisaaltoa. Turvallisuusjoukot vedettiin kuitenkin samassa kuussa pois Basrasta paikallisten vaikuttajien vaatimuksesta. Suurajatolla Ali al-Sistani on tuominut rikollisuuden ja rikollisuutta vastaan on ollut mielenosoituksia. Basrassa ja muissa Etelä-Irakin lääneissä on ollut myös heimojen välisiä jännitteitä. Edellä esitetty maantieto huomioiden, maahanmuuttovirasto hyväksyy tosiseikkana kertomuksesi siitä, että perheenne on kokenut syrjintää shia-muslimien taholta. Maahanmuuttovirasto ei kuitenkaan hyväksy tosiseikkana sitä, että olisitte kotialueellenne Basraan palatessanne jo vaarassa joutua vakavien oikeudenloukkausten kohteeksi alueen yleisen tilanteen vuoksi. Asiassanne ei myöskään ole esitetty sellaisia henkilökohtaisia olosuhteita, joiden vuoksi perheenne olisi erityisessä vaarassa joutua oikeudenloukkausten kohteeksi. Maahanmuuttovirasto ei ole edellä hyväksynyt tosiseikkana sitä, että olisitte vaarassa kotimaassanne. Pelkonne ei siten ole objektiivisesti perusteltua. Maahanmuuttovirasto katsoo, että teidät voidaan käännyttää Irakiin ilman, että voitte joutua siellä vainon, vakavan haitan tai epäinhimillisen tai ihmisarvoa loukkaavan kohtelun kohteeksi, tai että teidät voitaisiin lähettää sieltä sellaiselle alueelle.
This was a story of a lone mother of four child from Iraq. And next we're going to hear in English another decision made by Migri to a businessman from Iraq.
You tell us that you are an Iraqi citizen, a Sunni Muslim, and that your home city is Baghdad. The migration office accepts as a fact your identity, your citizenship, and your background. You have told us that you have worked as an entrepreneur in Baghdad. Your company produced doors and windows from aluminum and polyvinyl chloride. You tell us that you have been threatened in your place of domicile because your father has worked as a captain in the local police force while Saddam ruled. Your father was kidnapped and was reported as missing in 2007. You tell us that the problems continued even when you returned to Baghdad from Basra in 2014, because the Shia militia wants revenge on Sunni Muslims. You tell us that revenge attacks happened often in your area. You have told us that 5 days before you came to Finland, a bomb was put in front of your shop. The bomb damaged your shop and destroyed the products inside the shop. You tell us that, according to the security camera, the bomb was put there by the local police. When the police came there after the explosion, they wanted to arrest you, and you tell us that some of the policemen recognized you because of your father. You gave the security camera equipment to the police and they went away. According to information about the country and about the current situation in Baghdad, Sunni Muslims' rights can be violated. The migration office accepts as a fact the problems that you have told us about. According to information about the country, it can be possible that some policemen work together with the local militants in Baghdad and that these policemen are committing crimes. The migration office accepts as a fact that the bomb that exploded in front of your shop possibly could have been put there by policemen. However, according to your story, a possible threat in the future is sweeping and unspecified. According to your story, all Sunni Muslims in the area have been threatened, and oral insults and comments have been uttered. We have taken into consideration that the violence in your area have been general and that you have not been personally threatened. According to the Foreigners Act, a foreigner in Finland can be given asylum if he or she has got a justified reason to be afraid of being hurt because of his or her ethnicity, religion, citizenship, societal group or political opinion. Furthermore, it is required that the person cannot, or because of his or her fear does not want to, return to his or her home country. The Migration Office does not accept as a fact that you would be in danger in your home country. Your fear is not objectively justified.
This was one example or two examples of the cases that we have at the moment. Those decisions that Migration Office is giving to people and based on what they're sent back to their home countries or their countries of origin.
Yeah, that's too weird because that's what's he written in English. It was like 2 days ago, or not 2 days, like few days ago, a person got a permit according to like the same thing basically. Like he was Sunna and his father was worked to Saddam Hussein and he was threatened because of that. And he got a permit, a political permit, that he can bring his family here because they are the Finnish Migration Office decide that even his family is in danger and they have to bring it. So they will bring it and they are waiting for the appointment to bring them here. But with this map situation, it's like the threat is general and you don't have a reason to be afraid. But with this other person, he has a reason to be afraid and he got a permit to stay here. So it's really weird that maybe decision is like fluctuated from person to person with the same situation. Like I have, for example, my situation and my friend's situation, it's almost the same. But they don't believe me and they believe my friend and they give a permit to my friend. So
yes, and
I don't understand that.
Yes, and we have heard so many stories about that, for example, there are two brothers and one brother got residence permit and second didn't even they share exactly the same story.
Yeah.
One of my Iraqi friend in the oldest camp, the brother was there was two brothers. They were doing the same job and they had the same apartment together. They had a big apartment, but one of the brother get the positive decision, but the same brother with the same work with the same apartment, he got the negative. I really cannot understand what is the difference if somebody is like my colleague is doing the same thing what I'm doing. So I will get the permit and my colleague will not get the permit. What is the difference between me and my colleague? Why the migre is doing such negative decisions?
There's many, many other decisions like not reasonable at all. Like, for example, one of my friends, he got the first negative and they told him that we believe you, but you can live in other place. Like, you can just change your home. And the other negative, second negative for him, they told him that we don't believe you at all. So, like, it's kind of child play. Like, I believe you now, I don't believe you now. Just like this.
Yeah, like... I'm really happy that at least some people got asylum to stay in Finland,
yeah,
but these are really good examples why it really is really random how Migre makes their decisions. And well, as we know, the in 2015 the Migre has hired like huge amount of new people who don't really have a education for that or who have been put there to make the decisions without really proper information or the education for that job. And also when there has been a lot of pressure to be effective and be considering the situation of economical situation of Finland, that if you give too many positive decisions, it may effect on the situation, economical situation of Finland or so on. There has been a lot of pressure to make lots of negative decisions. So it seems like that has been really a big, well, the reason why there have been, one of the reasons why there have been so many random decisions.
Yeah, but on the other side, they are paying money and they are like, spend a lot of money to deport people or to make it hard for a person to live here. At the same time,
like, yeah. Sometimes I'm just wondering how they come up with this decision. When they're making this decision, are they drunk or are they just playing chess to see who they will give the positive and who they would give the negative decision? Because it seems like it's not fair, because all of them have wasted a lot of time and energy to come here, because it takes a lot of money to come from, whether it's Iraq, Afghanistan or Somali. And to think in a way that all of them, they have hopes and dreams and they run away from conflict. And as soon as they come here, it seems like everybody's giving you the hope that you will have a future. But then the immigration, it's like messing up everything for everybody, and it's not fair. So you should really consider about everyone's life. And it seems like papers means more than a human life. And we should also think about this, that everyone deserves to have a happy life and to be safe, whether it's from religion purpose, whether it's from safety purpose. Like, we're all humans, and we should think about that, and we should not make or send people by force to somewhere that they don't want to go back to, where they don't have life or future.
Yeah, it's true. It's one, like, the reason I leave Iraq, it's not only conflicts and, like, for example, like you said, we spend a lot of money, and, like, I don't care about money. I can spend more just to live more far away from Earth, maybe, just to get rid of this sick life. Like, we risk our life in this way. We are not afraid of get killed there. I'm not afraid to get killed there. I will die anyway, any time. We don't know when and where. The problem is that I don't want to be in that conflict. I will lose my soul, my heart, if I am in that conflict. And I, at some point there, I have to defend myself. And to defend myself, I have maybe to kill someone. If I get killed, it's okay, but to kill someone, it's not okay to me. And to live there, maybe someday you have to kill someone. And it's not acceptable at all to me. I just want to live in peace. I don't want to be in any conflict. And I don't want to be in a situation that I have to fight just to live.
Well, it seems like that the politicians are kind of making a big mistake when they're not listening to the citizen or to the people, because it really matters that we listen to the people, because they're the one that gives the vote and they're the ones that depends on you guys to make a good decision based on that. And seeing people being sent back and being forced to go back to a life where there's nothing, they don't know they will die, they don't know what would happen, there's no future. So think about this, and also you should think about, if you were in that situation, would you allow someone to send you back by force, or would you rather fight for your life and stand up for all the bullies that have been bullying you to make your life really miserable?
The Finnish people, they think that they are going to abroad or somewhere else, and the life is normal. But they have to try to go to Afghanistan, Iraq, or Syria to see the reality of the world. Any of you, if you want to just think that that we are lying and people lie and they are coming for a good life. It's not like that. People have problem to come here. If you really think that everything is going on, that this is correct, take a visa to Afghanistan, to Iraq, to Syria. Just apply for a visa for Iraq or Syria, for Afghanistan. But the government will tell you, no, it's not safe for you. But how it can be safe for us? If you Finnish people, you are not safe in our countries, then how can be safe for us, for asylum seekers? Just think about it. If you are making base of politics, these decisions, take a flight to Afghanistan and see the reality. Then take the decisions. We are okay with your decisions.
What about what about your dreams? What about what if you don't believe in borders or in nationalities and these things, that you don't want to stay in one country? What about that if you are thinking that you want to visit all the world? Why it's too difficult to you if you are from Middle East? Why it's too difficult to go and study in a European country or in other countries? Why it's too difficult just to try to make your dream come true? I just don't believe in borders, but there's always borders in front of me.
Yeah, me either. I don't believe in borders. And what makes me a better person? I just won in a lottery and I was born here in Finland. I'm not better as a human being. Yeah.
And you are lucky, you can just go and live anywhere you want.
Exactly.
But we can't.
Mm-hmm.
We just choose to cross all this border to come to Europe, or let's specify Finland. Just to have this honor, to be a human being.
And every person in this world has a right to live, has a right to search for a better future, has right to study, and has right to work and everything. Not just like me as a Finnish person.
Yeah, but unfortunately these rights are disappeared there.
Well, maybe we should do one thing. Since the politicians are claiming that those three countries are safe, or other countries, maybe we should give them a vacation to go visit there and see how safe it is, and let's see if they can survive even a day or even an hour. Because it seems like you're just quick to judge and say everything looks safe, you can go back. It's not. But I think a vacation for a week would be nice for you guys to go check it out and tell us how safe it is then.
I don't suggest to go to Green Zone because it's safe.
No, Green Zone. We will take them wherever they claim it's safe. Let's see how safe it is.
The officials always go to the countries and they are having a very good luxury car, hundreds of bodyguards. They are going to the castle and they're coming back. Oh, everything was okay. And we had a nice dinner and lunch. But they don't walk to the street.
Yeah.
No. As they go to the castle, they say, yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
No, we don't want to give them that luxury. We should just have them be like a normal citizen in that country.
Yeah.
And just walk around and see how safe it is. Yeah. And
I always wonder when I heard someone visited Iraq, where in Iraq exactly?
Well, they only go to the safe part.
Safe part.
They have a lot of guards.
How many guards with them?
Well, do you hear someone go to Mredi in Iraq or Sadr City? No anyone go there. Yeah. Everyone go just for place part in Iraq. And actually, I need to talk about that. More people talking about Finnish people, not Finnish people. The problem with Migri. Because Migri would say, no, everyone deport people and do that. But Finnish people, for example, me, I have million friend Finnish. I have everything. Now I am in family with the Finnish girl. Now I build my family with Finnish girl. So the problem not with Finnish people. Because every time I hear people talking about that, say Finnish people. No, we're talking about Migri. Because Migri, for example, my answer coming from Migri, you should go back to Iraq because your mother Sunni.
So I don't choose my mom to be Sunni. Now I start don't like any religion because you just make problem. Yes, I'm Muslim, but this is basic thing. I'm not going to pray every time. I'm not going to take like hijab everywhere. Just be normally like. I don't know how people think that. Now if I walk in street, just people see my hair black, think I'm Muslim, I'm going to make bomb. I don't know how it will be. But everything will be great. Let's see.
Yeah, it's always that you get the judgment before they know you.
Yeah.
It's normal, I think.
This is the problem always with everybody in every country. Usually the people that they are in migrate, they don't consider to the problem of the person. They are just playing with the life of that person. They are just having a signature. And everything is spoiling for the man who has this decision. They just think that it's so easy for the person that who is taking this decision. Even though you have case strong and you deserve to have the asylum, but it's not like that. It's like a lottery, luck by chance. If you get it, it's your chance. If you not get it, it's like you're not lucky.
Yeah, and also now the Migrabush people to do more things no anyone want to do it. Like, for example, I'm going like far away now, I'm talking about that, but I want more people to know that. Like Migri, if you say I'm gay, just go to Migri and say I'm gay, you will get promised to stay. Or you go there and you change your religion. It doesn't matter which religion, but don't stay be Muslim. You will get promised to stay in Finland. Why?
Even though these days it's normal to change your religion or something.
Yeah, this is normally like anyone can change his religion, can do what he wants. This is a free, but
yeah, it is your,
but if you do that just to have ID to stay in Finland, like this is not fair at all.
Yeah, but I don't blame those people. I blame this whole system.
Yeah, we're talking about Migri.
Yeah,
and also the situation is though that because people have no safe way to come here, they come the most dangerous way, and because they have no, I mean, easy or right way to stay here, based on their case, they have to come up with something that will give them the possibilities to stay here.
Yeah,
and
true.
They're playing against their own, I mean, their own wants or needs or religion or whatever, their own history and everything to be able to save their lives to be here. And it's really, really unfair politics. And maybe we can get back to it more. We could talk after a short break about the EU politics, and we could talk about how the Finnish government has come to this situation that they want to, that they're seeing asylum seekers or migrants such a big threat that they just want to push everyone out from here. Let's have one song. In the Mill. This is also a political song from Iraq, from a comedy TV show where they are talking what's wrong with the situation and things at the moment in Iraq. And let's come back to the serious business after this one.